Welcome to We Empower, the radio show that inspires you to embrace your potential, resilience, and strength. In these challenging times, we're here to help you unlock your power to overcome obstacles, pursue your dreams, and shape a brighter future. I'm Anna Martinez, your host for this empowering hour. Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of We Empower. I'm thrilled to have you all with us today. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired. Let's make today count. In today's episode, we have two, or let's say three, great guests here to introduce. And as at first, my first talk guest, where I'm very, very happy to have him here, it's Marcus Wijdgren from the Swedish Lunch to Davos Legends. Marcus and Alexander Wijdgren reveal what true leadership, access, and global dialogue mean today. And then afterwards, we will talk to Selig and Franziska Leuthard, mainly Selig, who from baker to sellout are just a life driven by a color, passion, and nature, with over 2,700 works, bringing light into homes and hearts worldwide. But first, we want to catch it off with starting with a song selected by Marcus. Welcome, Marcus, here in the show.
Happy Friday. Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah, welcome to Global, to our voices. And I'm very happy to have you here. I mean, I thought maybe that I get you as a couple, as a twin couple. Marcus, you have a twin, that's Alexander. But you said already beforehand that it might be tricky with the violence connection. So I'm very happy to have you here, the visionary, one of the visionary minds behind the Swedish Lunch in Davos, a tradition that has become an institution on its own right since 2015. From hosting world leaders and change makers to building bridges across politics, business, and innovation, Marcus and Alexander have witnessed the evolution of Davos up close. The ideas, the people, the energy that defines leadership in the 21st century. In today's conversation, we'll talk about what it means to lead in a world of constant change, how to create meaningful connections in high-stakes environments, and why Davos remains a mirror of our collective future and culture. So let's dive in. This is not just about power. It's about purpose, people, and presence. And Marcus, in the beginning, we started welcoming you with a song selected by you. And to be honest, the song is one of the songs I like the most. It's it gives me goosebumps. It narrows in my throat, knowing the tragedy behind Avicii. And on the other hand, I think it's a wake-up call for everybody. And before I ask a question, I would like to introduce this a little bit for our listeners. Wake Me Up, Avicii. We took it featured by Aloe Black. For me, the best line is, feeling my way through the darkness, guided by a beating heart. And this line captures the essence of modern leadership and human resilience, moving forward even when the path isn't clear, when it's full of crises, trusting intuition and authenticity, more than external direction. And in the context of Davos, a place where the world's decision makers gather to shape the future, this lyrics resonates deeply. It's a reminder that vision doesn't always come from data or power, but from inner conviction, from empathy and courage to act amidst uncertainty. For me, it's a kind of emotional universal song. It's a fusion of genre. It's collecting, awakening. It's, yeah, and it's this voice which is so soulful, so grounded. I can't say it better with just these words, but it's bridging between words and Avicii. This is just more than just a person. It is, I think, it got into a kind of institution, and it got into a kind of international calling. Marcus, do you want to add a few words? And I'm really staring to your background, because maybe you can say a few words of what is behind you for the ones which can't see it. And
Well, thank you for letting me choose the song. Now, there is a personal connection to it, of course. Not only do My team and I, we work with the Avicii Foundation called Tim Berling Foundation, and that is focused on mental health awareness. And we collaborated together with Aloe Black at the Swedish Lunch. So during the panels, we actually have artists coming in singing a little bit to lift up the energy, but also send them a strong message. Now, when it comes to Wake Me Up, it's really important to remember that when this song was released live with Tim and Aloe, it actually completely failed. So when they came home that evening, they were looking at each other. There was no chips or beer. It was just like almost tears in the team's eyes because they worked so hard on this. But as true leaders both are, and the entire teams that they work with, they pushed through, and the internet and the audience and the fans just lifted up that song by themselves. So that is why I chose that song, because it really portrays a vision, leadership, but also, when it's stormy outside, you can still push through if you really believe in what you're doing. And that song is really important for us. So that's why we chose the song. Aloe chose it for the Swedish Lunch when he sang it there. And I chose to do it here today as a small contribution to this. Now, behind me, I do have one of the record prizes that Avicii received for his work that he did. So behind me, I have a gold LP that's framed for the UK. So I brought it today as a little bit of a memory that not only is his legacy still alive, but it's still very, very bright and vibrant. And we have this in our office, and we always get the best compliments having this on our wall. So I moved it in for the show today.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I mean, for me, Avicii is just really greatly chosen by you, and not just because he was a great artist, not just because he shows us with his deep connection he shared with his audience, not just because he really showed us the truth, that the truth comes often with a bridge between the darkness and the light, but also it fits so perfectly to the mission you have with the Swedish Lunch. I mean, for me, it's really a perfect, the perfect song for you. Started with this idea of two brothers saying that you would like to give some colors to the World Economic Forum in this very specific location, inviting just a few important people to the first meeting, eight people you were, and crazy if you look back and the people you invited, the people who came, the talks you the meetings you shared, the very important messages which came out of this just Swedish Lunch, and I think with this message of Swedish Lunch, which is a kind of invitation, giving everybody also the potential to unfold his wisdom and bring it in on to this place. And it's an invitation, I think, in a word where we too often are concentrating on stereotypes because we feel so uncertain and we drive our hamster wheel because this gives us the idea that there is something we can rely on. And with this, we are doing exactly that we are stigmatizing people. And I mean, what you said, it is so, you said so many important things. Just for example, this stay tuned if you have a vision, stay tuned. Whatever happens, whatever that people think you're weird, you're different, you won't fit into the stereotyping, you won't fit into this overall crisis atmosphere, stay tuned. Don't stop. And I mean, what you deliver with this is a kind of be human in a digital age, right? Never stop also talking about your imperfection, because your imperfection is the path where you can share your diversity, which is a kind of innovation fuel for everything what we do. And it is a reminder of why we gather and by hearts that beat for something greater, and you combine it perfectly. And this is what I love about what you do. And I mean, I think we could talk endless today about this connection of Avicii and his music with what you do. I mean, I get really excited about this, but there's so much more I would like to ask you. So I have to step a little bit back on my on that on my on my enthusiasm there. I mean, we have a limited time to talk today about it, so I would like to step into your childhood. I mean, you are twins, but of course, I mean, seeing you, everybody sees, of course, that you are different in a way, but you are a kind of synergetic, what I think is optimal for things like that. What are your earliest memories of curiosity or leadership as children?
Well, I mean, first of all, the main advantage of being a twin is that we could be in two places at the same time. So, as my brother is traveling with really unstable Wi-Fi, that's the only reason he's not here today. He was very sad. He sent me an SMS going like, "I'm not getting this technology with me today." So, I certainly, he sends his best regards to the show and all the listeners. But
Thank you.
the earliest like memories, I have to say, we're definitely focused around my parents. Now, it's important to know that I come from a multicultural background. My father is born in Milan, Italy, by Swedish parents, and my mother is born in Tuscany in Italy, but raised in Stockholm by Italian parents. And then we moved around to roughly six, maybe seven countries, depending how you calculate it, I guess. And we have two different religions in the family as well. So it's more than the eye can see, I guess. And I think that is definitely something that shaped my leadership, is based on my father's side and my mother's side, and how my parents navigated those two different worlds and how they try to build bridges. Like that type of leadership I saw straight up close. And it was very important for me to learn from that. I did not know how valuable it would be until much later down the line. So, but I'm very sure on one thing, that energy still transpires today. That energy is still like one of our compasses, and it keeps us on the straight and narrow, I guess.
What a great multicultural, and also that it's a kind of vice versa, also synergetic in the people and in your parents from the roots, right? This is great that you mentioned this, and I think yes, the more you feel what diversity means, the more you feel what different cultures means, the more you are sensitive, and the more you understand maybe also yourself. With maybe your limitations, languages, maybe barriers, but also with the chances you have by opening, by feeling where there are bridges, just as music, where you don't need to know each word, but if you feel the rhythm and share the rhythm, and you stand up and share it, and then there's an atmosphere, and this is unifying. This is sharing this power in the room. This is something I think, being somebody who's a cosmopolitan, you felt you have mu you have mu must felt very well already. Also with these two religions, there's also always something which is between us, but there's always something which is bridging us.
Yeah, I mean, it's in today's world, I think that it's even more important to remember that the differences can actually unite us. So it's all a matter of perspective, I guess. For me, because I grew up in two different cultures, married into one, literally, for me, it was just a natural play. It was like a kid, joining into any normal activity because I took it as a natural thing. And then when we progressed, we stayed in the international schools. We went from Swedish public schools into international schools, and then went back to university. That's a state-owned university in Sweden to study economic history. It was still very, normal for me to act around different religions or people, but little did I know that even in progressive Sweden, that was still something that was a little bit outside the norm, I guess. But we'll see where the world goes. I hope that bridges are built from two different sides. I think that's mo most important.
Yeah, I hope so too. I really hope so too. And growing up, I mean, you shared a few surroundings or a few structure elements with us. Was there a moment that shaped your view on connection, on dialogue, on internationality, on bridging?
Yeah, absolutely. So as I mentioned, like we went to an international school. That gave us a few advantages, of course. But one thing that we got deep insight into is an organization within the school or a part of the school that was called MUN, Model United Nations. And that was a great way for us as kids to play around with diplomacy or what we thought was very formal items. We were playing with a student organization where that was handled with very much care, but oversight of parents, oversight by teachers and adults. But we were free to play as we wished with diplomacy inside. And I have to say, it was, I think it is a very large student organization today. I'm not really updated on the newest trends within the MUN, but it certainly was a starting point where we could meet young people all around the world. And these people are still my friends today. And it was like this, networking effect where I got to know people on the other side of the world, and I could talk to them, work with them, even though we were representing different countries because it's all fiction, right? But it was so much fun to be able to talk to somebody from Indonesia, but the country was Germany. Like it was very fun to see that, you know.
I can really imagine it, and there come stories in my mind of the small markets meeting these people, and starting with this early and the early steps of preparing diplomatic bridges, right? So I'm very much looking forward to Marcus' answers on my further questions and can't wait. But I have to wait for 2 minutes, and we all have to wait for a couple of minutes, 2 minutes, around 2 minutes, and then we see each other here again. So stay tuned.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
So we've covered some intriguing topics on the last minutes, and now we'll continue our conversation with Marcus. Some may know from Swedish Lunch. Marcus, tell us how the idea of the Swedish Lunch was born. And I mean, the ones who don't know what is the Swedish Lunch will just have to Google it. It is one of the institutions during Davos.
Well, it was more easy than it was complicated, I guess. So my brother and I, as we grew up in different countries, one common denominators were that the news channels were all in English. And in the news channels, we noticed that there was a repetition in January about introducing, world leaders and talking to them and what the state of the world was in January. So at a very early age, mid-teens, we had this idea that, one day we should go there and see, almost like what the Model United Nations did to us, we could do for or in Davos during the World Economic Forum. Now, we came there the first year in 2014, and what happened at that point was that we radared the market and we saw that there was, literally very little events outside of the World Economic Forum. Now, you have to imagine that the World Economic Forum is the absolute pinnacle. However, when the schedule there is done for the day, then these world leaders spill over to what the World Economic Forum's city is hosting, which is Davos. So, first of all, we could not afford an evening event because that one was definitely way too much and outpriced for us. When we were in our young 30s, we were not great at waking up in the morning, I guess. So lunch was the only option left, I hope. I mean, that's how organically we chose lunch. But it was also when we looked at a sun calculator online, we noticed that the Schatzalp Hotel was positioned perfectly for lunch. And coming up to a hotel that is roughly, 800 meters up in the mountain from the city center, you come up from like a dusty conference hall or a dusty hotel, Or like a closed restaurant, you come up to the Schatz Apple Tal and you have literally the world ahead of you. That just reminds even the largest world leader that they are still small in this universe. And I think that is one of the key attributes that really breaks the tension amongst people that come up to our panels. It really resets the humanity between all of our guests. So no matter who you are, everybody comes up there with a certain level of eyesight to each other. Nobody's bigger than, except for maybe the Klitschko brothers. They're so tall that they're the only ones who are massive giants around it, but they're very humble when you actually meet them and talk to them.
Yeah, and it's really, you're stepping your foot outside this cabin and you're up on the hill and you have a great view above all. And you feel so small sudden. Just you feel, okay, this is, yes, I'm a piece of that what God or somebody else made. And I'm part of this wonderful nature and I can be just thankful for everything what nature did to us, no? And
Exactly.
I mean, you're inviting everybody who wants to give something back to that. And you are very authentic in everything what you do. And I really love that because
Thank you.
you and I know, and I have some pictures in front of my head, and maybe you're sharing this with me, where women standing like whoo, with big sunglasses and chasing visibility, and I mean you're playing with this, of course, a tiny little bit, but you are much above it because for you it is this authenticity. You choose a place where people got healed or found the hope for getting healed, and that tuberculosis was an illness, and Davos was one of the spots worldwide where people came all with a last hope to get back alive, which durs maybe a bit longer than they feared, without pain.
Yeah. I mean, I think that one of the really important aspects in everything you do is to keep it fun. Really go in with that opportunistic feeling of like, I'm allowed to have a good time now. I understand that, life doesn't always offer you these positions, but if you can have that 51% of the time, I guess that you're doing that 1% difference. And that could be the difference between, doing something nice for somebody else or not. And when we opened up the lunch early on in the days, we were only 8 guests. We would never believe that it would grow up to, I think we're topping out at 1,650 world leaders during 3 hours of one lunch in a very already overpopulated city. It was very important to keep that intention of having fun. So it's supposed to be a relaxed event. You're supposed to meet your friends that you met maybe a year ago or somewhere else, re-meet your friends and re-energize for the remainder of the week during the World Economic Forum. Now, we allow people to have fun. And remember, like back in 2015, it was not really that temperature. In Davos, it was like only serious conversations. It was only this and it was only that. So I think when it comes to an historic perspective, our crazy ways, so to speak, just fell, right into the raison d'être for people in Davos. Like, I'm here to have a good time, but also make a change and move that needle to where I want it to be when it comes to sustainability, philanthropy, equality. And when we attracted our population, our fans, our guests, our world leaders, everybody who's allowed to be there, of course, it's very important to remember that the result of this was the most equal event in all of Davos. We were 50% women and 50% men in leading positions. Our panels in the beginning were a little bit mannels, like a lot of men in the panels, but it was actually a result of many of our female leaders. As soon as we announced them, they actually got poached by other companies who could pay them for a speaking position. So I was applauding, but crying on the sidelines because we just lost one of the greatest speakers we wanted to have. Today, we don't have that problem. We have actually more females in leading position in panels than men. And I think that it's we need to increase that that inequality, I guess. So we need more smart men than Davos, I think, at the moment. That's what we need.
That's a great perspective. But as I know you, your events could be also a kind of think and do or development tank to get more men who figure out how smart they are, because they've forgotten about it in being caught in different frames where they thought that this is their role. And I think you do touch something really important. This is a humor, laughter. It is this easiness of life. And we often forget about that, being in this crisis hamster wheel and thinking, oh, we have to look serious. We have to look with a bad face. We just concentrate on the shadows. We concentrate also on the shadows of other people. So it is a circle which is where we don't need to be surprised that autoimmune illnesses psychosomatic illnesses are increasing. And for example, I saw a number of breast cancer increase in Germany, 23% from last year to this year. We don't need to be surprised about this, no? If somebody steps into this hamster wheel and what you do, what you prepared, this humor, this laughter. I mean, you know, I think you speak a bit German, you said, so you know maybe also a bit the culture of the Germans, which is often a kind of if you're too humorous, if you're too much laughing, too much smiling, it's for them a kind of unseriousness. And I think it's also a part in the business world still where seriousness should come along with looking, not smiling, looking like you want to go into a fight.
Exactly. I think that that changed a lot with us because at initial meetup, you don't know exactly where me or my brother is from because we grew up in an international perspective. So I could greet somebody in German, and then within a few seconds later, I could switch to Italian, and then I could talk to somebody in English. So I think that people are not really prepared for a person with multi languages to really welcome them in such a personal way. So that in itself is also opening up the chambers of your energy. Like, where are you going to position your energy? And you just go like, okay, this is a multi-international event. I cannot be my old version of what my culture needs. So I will be just a human. And I think that's one of the most important steps that you do when you come into Davos. Unfortunately, they only do it at our lunch, but I think people are learning slowly but surely. It takes like 10 years. Now people are learning already at the train station that, now it's time for me to open up and just be a human rather than coming in there and trying to address other nationalities or other cultures with your own backpack on. You need to remove that completely. Remain with your knowledge, remain with your facts. I mean, these people come from super disciplined academic areas or super highly specific industries, and they represent a lot of people. Now, just to recap a little bit for the Avicii connection. So we do have one evening that we have, which is called the Avicii Tribute Concert. Now, who has a concert in Davos with all the world leaders? Well, I have to tell you this, it is one of the most popular evenings. And the reason why we have it is because we saw other companies having their parties, quote unquote. And the main problem there was every single guest, and me myself has been there. It feels like your uncle's fourth wedding when you go to these receptions. There's no cause, there's no reason to be there, and people just, are there because it's a great brand to attend. Sure, you need to have that in Davos, I guess. But what we wanted to do was to create awareness regarding mental health. And what happened, the result of that was that a lot of these CEOs or chair people, they were contacting us saying, look, Marcus, Alex, I have 450,000 employees. If 1% of my population in my company are affected by mental health, I need to know exactly what that is. And we understood very quickly that you can outsource like a CSR program or a CO2 versus your supply chain minimization efforts. You can outsource that. You can have people working on that. And that's great in itself, absolutely. But when it comes to mental health, If that happens in your workforce, that is immediately sent to the CEO. There's no way of outsourcing it. That person, he or she, needs to take care of it immediately to remain in control and make sure that everybody else knows what happened, how they could prevent that, and also put resources behind education and really try to help the people affected by such a grave illness, I mean. So out of the 450,000 employees that they have, it's really important to know that far many people are affected, not only people that are working for the company, but the people around them. So the community is devastated by just one person falling for this illness. And that evening, obviously, is very oversubscribed. Heavy personalities within the industry, heavy personalities within the music industry, but we also take in a lot of foundations because without the foundations, we don't stand any chance for the future. Because if we just have corporate views, this is just going to be a corporate world, and that's not, I think, the way that you should, raise children or want to have fun. You should really start, encouraging foundations to come to Davos. I think that's the best. They're so welcomed. We're working primarily with three foundations. One is Davichi Foundation or Tim Berling Foundation. Then we have Mr. Beast Philanthropy. He's the largest YouTuber in the world. His philanthropy is represented there, that we handle as well. And then we have the Nonviolence Foundation. That's the Nodded Gun. It's basically to, I think it's the second most recognized symbol when it comes to peace. So it's a gun with a knot on the front. And I have to say, as soon as we go in our network and say that we have these three different foundations we'd like to work with, people are lining up. Families that have great values, families that are looking for the next, energy source of what to do with the resources they have, or the companies they own, or the people they could connect to or influence. These foundations are highly sought after in Davos, and I'm happy to see that because just doing another deal in Davos is not going to change your life, but getting, shifting the needle on education in Latin America is it would be a great thing to do, I guess.
I completely agree with you and with any sentence or word you said. And I mean, we have a bit of time left, maybe for two questions. And I'm really struggling because I put so much great questions, I think great questions together.
Yes.
I would like to ask you. So we need a second series, definitely. So I mean, you put it so greatly into words what I wanted to ask you already. But if there is a kind of if there is somebody who thinks about coming to Davos and he wants to spread his message, what is your advice for this person? Are there some rules or some ideas you could give? Also, maybe if they want to connect to you.
Well, it's connecting with us is fairly easy. You can search for me on LinkedIn, or you can go to globalconversations.ch, one word, and then you'll find our homepage. We're also on LinkedIn and Instagram, so please reach out. We're there to help. We help the community at large. And the most important thing when you're going to Davos, I would say, it is unfortunately the prices are fairly high there, and there are ways to avoid that. So if I could recommend anybody, and I do this on a daily basis, I tell people don't do the really expensive version of what you think Davos should be. That's the biggest mistake, I think. You don't have to put down a lot of money to be there. You can live in Zurich and take the train every morning. That's not an issue at all. If you'd like to run a program or do a certain event, you need a lot of planning ahead because the local government in Switzerland or in Graubünden in Davos, they actually have certain guidelines you need to set up. So you're not allowed to just jump into a restaurant and have your event. So the city is heavily, is carrying this population that's coming in there for 1 week. And there are certain rules and guidelines. So, reach out if you're interested in doing anything. We'd be happy to help. We help people with zero budget, and we also sometimes even assist foundations or people that come with a certain cause that we are not experts in, but we know that they are. We are absolutely out there to support them and make sure that they could be on stage. Like what we do is different. We don't have just corporate people sitting on a stage talking about their product. We actually do the opposite. Very few companies sit on our stage, I guess. Maybe that I'm just speaking against my interest right now, but that is the truth.
Yes, and this, I think this is also making a great difference from that what you offer to some other places where, as a speaker, you have to pay 50,000 euros, and if you want to bring a product and propose it, then you have to pay another 50,000 euros, and for another 5,000 euros, you get a great picture on that, which you can carry home saying, "I was at Davos,
Correct.
presenting a product and getting a picture." And this is something which is, I think, carrying also the magic of that what you provide, that you not only have been staying authentic, but that you are offering the people an idea of their own, offering the people an idea of unfolding their potential and bring it in for a good use. And I'm really, really happy that we could touch a few points of that what you do and what you bring to the world with your engagement for Davos. And I would love to talk further with you. So thank you for your inspiring insight. And I look very much forward to our ongoing exchange, Marcus, and the impact we will continue to make together the world a better and more funny place.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate your platform. It's been a great time, and the questions were very interesting. And as you know, there's a spillover effect on what we could talk about for days, I guess. But thank you so much for hosting me, and I'm looking forward to following you.
Thank you so much. I will be in contact with you afterwards, and thank you so much for being here. So, after the commercial break of a few minutes, we will continue with the introduction of
Happy
the
Friday, everybody.
English.
Thank you so
Thank
much for
you.
everybody listening.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
So I'm very happy to welcome here Salish and Francisco, and I would like to introduce them with a few words, because we met in person a while ago, and I would like to introduce both with a few words. Born in Lucerne in 1966, Salish first shaped bread and pastries before shaping colors, forms, and visions. Rejected from art school, he found strength in that no and transformed the no into a lifelong yes to art. With more than 2,700 works created, of which over 2,300 now shine in homes, clinics, and companies across the world, Salish paints not only with brush and palette knife, but sometimes even with his bare hands. His inspiration? Nature, the sun, and the universe. From Bernswiler in the Bernese Oberland in Switzerland, he and his family have built an oasis of creativity where visitors step into a cosmos of something else, of color, passion, and light. Welcome to the world of an artist who turned obstacles into wings for everybody who's with them. Welcome, Salish, and welcome, Francisco. Happy to have you here. Schön,
Hello.
euch hier zu haben.
Ja. Danke. Guten Hello, Annabelle. It's nice to hear to be. Aber ich
So,
spreche nicht in Deutsch.
as the both are not speaking English that well, we do it with a translation, and I try to be as quick enough that you get the full message in a small period of time. So first, when we start, what are your earliest memories of working with colors or materials as a child? Was waren deine ersten, frühesten Erinnerungen?
Da waren ja einige Momente, die mich sehr inspiriert haben. Mein Vater
Welchen?
malte zu Hause mit Ölfarben.
He said he had some early memories because his father already painted. He painted with all temperature colors, so he could watch him doing that. And did your family encourage your creative side when you were one young? So unterstützte deine Familie dich darin in deinen ersten Schritten?
Nein, aber sie haben mich auch nicht zurückgehalten. Wir
Ich
waren vier Kinder und wir waren sehr kreativ, vor allem draußen in der Natur.
He said, no, they didn't support him, but they even denied him from doing that because they were four kids. And what unified them was at first also that they played a lot in the nature and experienced this nature, and the nature was a partner for them to step into everything. So nature has been a really guidance for him and for everything he experienced in his life. And if we go further into that, and you see the magic from his art behind him, this is a typical art, a piece of art for him. Which childhood experiences still echo in your art today? So, möchtest du ein paar Erlebnisse mit uns teilen,
Ja.
was dich berührt hat oder was du auch mit deiner Kunst versuchst auszudrücken? Gerne auch emotionale Erlebnisse oder ein emotionales Erlebnis.
Gut. Ich war noch sehr jung, ungefähr 8, 9 Jahre alt. Und ich weiß, ich lag auf einer Wiese und beobachtete, wie die Sonne hinter den Wolken vorbeizog.
He was very young. He was 8 or 9 years old. He was lying on the grass, green grass, and clouds above. And it was a day where he looked above him, laying on this green grass, and there were just clouds. And the clouds were wandering, moving. So he was just once with his nature.
Und in diesem Moment, als ich diese goldene Scheibe sah, ich war 9 Jahre alt, dachte ich mir, wow, das sollte man in Kunst bringen.
And he just saw that the clouds opened, and between the clouds there came out the sun, and it was a kind of ball, it was a kind of circle. And while seeing this, he thought, "Oh my God, it would be so brilliant, it would be so wonderful to bring exactly this circle into art." And that was the start of that what we see nowadays with his 2,300 pieces he sold.
Okay.
So, stepping into that, what you did further. I mean, you stepped into another job first. How did your time as a baker influence your precision and sense of craft? And what did you get out of this? In der Zeit, als du als Bäcker oder auch Konditor gearbeitet hast, was hast du da rausgezogen für dich? Gibt es einen Moment, den du mit uns teilen kannst, der zeigt, was du an Kraft, an Vision daraus mitgenommen hast?
Also das war ja eigentlich das auch das sehr präzise Arbeiten und auch das strukturierte Arbeiten. Ich bin mir nicht so sicher, ob ich das schon vor meinem gelernten Beruf als Mensch mitgebracht habe. Ich tendiere dazu. Ich bin vom Wesen her.
He says that it's a precise working. He said maybe it was in him already, but this being a baker brought it out of and brought it into, of course, the daily rituals where he had to stay up early, where he had to follow a clear plan, where he had to make products out of something, out of he which has to come into real. And being structured, working that precisely, that was in the end that. What he took out of this, being a baker and preparing with this role also for everything he did later on. So, going or stepping into that, what was the turning point that you said, no, I don't work further as a baker. I step now completely into the role as an artist. Was war das? Warum, wo kam der Punkt? Wann war der Tag da, der Moment, wo du gesagt hast, ich werde jetzt ein Künstler? Ich gehe in diese Unsicherheit rein, weil das meine Berufung ist.
Das war eigentlich so in der Pubertät. So mit 13, 14 kam dieser Gedanke. Zuerst ist es nur ein Gedanke. Und ich möchte Kunst in die Welt bringen und die Sonne im Zentrum meiner Arbeiten setzen. Aber
Ich machte dann die Prüfung zur Kunstgewerbeschule, wurde dort abgelehnt, aber mein Feuer brannte zu stark, als ich dann hätte gesagt, das mache ich nicht. Also die
He was almost 30, 13, 14, where he thought that he would love to bring the son into a piece of arts, because he was so fascinated of the power of the son that he said, this is something which should not hang just above me, being a nature, but which should be in the people's homes and attract them. So he applied for an art school, but he was denied. But this only makes his fire burning higher and deeper for everything, what means art and being creative. So it really even supported his idea of, yes, I have to stay tuned. This is my mission of bringing the sun to everybody's home. So hattest du jemanden und war es vielleicht auch deine Frau, die dich dabei unterstützt haben? Was hat außer dieses Feuers in dir dich nochmal dazu gebracht, dass du gesagt hast, das Nein ist für mich mehr ein Ansporn. Ich bleibe dabei. Ich vertraue darauf, auf meine Kraft und darauf, dass es genau das Richtige ist.
Ich ging in die Stille, in die Natur, in den Wald und hörte auf meine Seele. Was will meine Seele in diesem Leben? Was will ich wirklich bringen? Was ist mir wirklich wichtig? Und da war eigentlich die Natur meine Inspiration und natürlich meine Frau. Du hast ja vorher angesprochen, meine Frau. In dem Moment, als sie in mein Leben kam, wusste ich, jetzt geht's los, aber ich wusste noch nicht genau was.
This is really nice. I mean, I asked him about if his wife maybe played a role in his life, and he said he talked about nature, and he said that nature was his guide, and he said also that being there in his inner guide said yes to, I have to go into this art. But he said, oh yes, my wife was the one when she came into my life, I knew. Now it's starting. I didn't know what, but there we start something really big. And this is great because it shows maybe also that Salish combines this in himself. On the one hand, this precision he got in himself of being very structured, and on the other hand, this deep connection to himself, to a higher something where he believes in, which guides him since he is a young boy, since he hasn't had somebody who said, yes, Salish, go ahead, it's great, you're a great painter. No, that was a calling in himself, and he always believed in this. And having a woman, having a partner at his side who's trusting in this is, of course, a great supporter for somebody like him. Is more than just somebody who helps him strengthen the back, but is also somebody who is partnering in good times and times where it's maybe a bit less sunny. Do you have a ritual before starting to paint? Hast du ein Ritual, bevor du zu zeichnen, zu kreativ zu sein beginnst?
Ich habe zwei Rituale. Zuerst am Morgen stehe ich auf, gehe mit meinem Hund spazieren und trinke einen Kaffee. Und wenn ich dann ins Atelier gehe, das Erste, was ich mache, klassische Musik. Das sind die zwei Rituale.
He has two rituals I have to share with you. So one, and if you don't know him, you have to get to know him because it's a very special dog. I got to know him, or he gave me a chance to know him, because, and the dog plays also a big role in one of these two rituals he is following for every day, because the walk the dog is something which is really important on his day, and drinking a coffee and being in nature. And this is something while starting his day with. And the dog is a very special one. And I think the dog describes maybe also a little bit of this what Salish characterizes. He understands the dog's characteristics. For him, the dog is not just an animal, which is just there. But he understands that the dog has an own character, an own, is an own, yeah, an own. own somebody, you have to meet on eye level. So if the dog says no, you accept the no. If the dog tells him to do this or this because he's wise and has some other ideas on things or maybe some other receptions, his understanding goes into a discussion with the dog, accepting that the dog is not just an animal, but it's an animal with a lot of wisdom in himself. Seilisch, ich habe gerade eben gesagt, dass du mit dem Hund so nicht umgehst wie viele andere Leute, dass der einfach ein Hund ist, der da sitzt und macht, was du willst, sondern dass du ihn ernst nimmst, diesen Hund. Und wir haben nicht mehr so viel Zeit heute, aber ich möchte, dass ich noch ein paar wichtige Sachen zu dir sage. Du hast mehr als 2300 Pieces verkauft von deiner Kunst. Was hat dich am meisten, welches Stück hat dich am meisten berührt? Was hat dich am meisten berührt, von wo es sich befindet?
Okay, gut. Also das ist ja ganz schwierig über so viele Kunstwerke eines herauszunehmen. Du verstehst? Gut. Ich habe es mir überlegt. Ah, sehr schön. Voilà. Toll. Wenn ich eins, nur eins aus meinen gesamten Werken für mich nehmen würde, dann wäre es aus der Serie der Universum-Bilder. Das sind Ölbilder alles. Und zwar der Name des Bildes heißt Voyager. Das ist ein großes Ölbild und das ist so mein ein Meisterwerk. Ein Meisterwerk.
He says a voyage is the painting which touches him at most. It's a kind of masterpiece of a masterpiece. And he said, why? Because it is, he made it of oil and he put a lot of passion into it. And it's giving this idea of really bringing the people into their home, a piece of this universe, of this, what he wants to express with his picture, that it's more than just a painting or more than just a piece of art. And this is, I think, what characterizes you. I would like to end with one question, Selish, and Francisco, you're also invited to. What advice would you give to somebody wanting to get more into or bringing more art into his life? Was wäre so eine Empfehlung, die ihr Menschen geben würdet, die sich mehr mit Kunst umhüllen, umgeben wollen, um damit ihre Kreativität auch zu stärken oder ihre Inspiration? Könnt ihr da einen kurzen Advice geben, einen kurzen Hinweis?
Ja, also einem neuen Künstler, der jetzt erst anfängt, sage ich mal, arbeite, arbeite, arbeite. Und wenn du vielleicht 50 Stück hast, dann sind 5 gut. Sei sehr kritisch zu dir. Und
Sadish says that if you want to get an artist on your own, you have to work, work, work. You have to be very disciplined and don't think that you can use everything. And if you produce maybe 50, it's maybe five.
wenn jemand sich mehr mit Kunst umgeben möchte, nicht unbedingt selbst kreativ sein will, dann soll er einfach die Augen offen halten. Und er wird automatisch zu dem gezogen, was zu ihm passt und was er selbst ausstrahlt.
thank you very much, Francisco. Francisco said, if you want to surround yourself with art, I'll look what your intuition brings you. And this is, I think, exactly the sentence which ends here perfectly our show for today. Thank you so much with sharing this with us, because yes, it is the intuition which should drive us, and it's the intuition which brings us together. And I think it's the intuition where we can profitize from. And this ends our show for today. Thank you so much for being with us here, and thank you so much for seeing you. And until next time, keep shining.